Good morning. My name is Amy Liebman. I'm with the Migrant Clinicians Network, and I'm also a part of the Occupational Health and Safety section. And I'd like to welcome you to our session on protecting children in agriculture. It's also part of the Occupational Health and Safety section, Occupational Health Disparities Institute. So I'll be your moderator, and I'll also be presenting. So just bear with me for a moment while I introduce this session. I'm actually the first presenter for the session, and then I'll introduce each of my colleagues as they go. Basically, our session is about the more than 1 million children that live on farms in the U.S. and many more who visit or work on our nation's 2.1 million farms, where they're exposed to an array of risks associated with agriculture. Since 1996, when the U.S. launched its Childhood Agricultural Injury Prevention Initiative directed by NIOSH, the rate of non-fatal injuries has declined by nearly 60%, while fatalities persist at about 70%. Oh, I'm sorry, 107 per year. An initial national action plan in 1996 was updated in 2001 to guide research interventions and policy for protecting children in agriculture. Today, the presenters in this session are a lead team that is spearheading a new effort to develop a continuation of this agenda for a 2012 blueprint for protecting children in agriculture. And it's an updated national agenda generated with a diverse group of stakeholders that are prioritizing future interventions, policies, funding, and research to improve agricultural child agricultural safety and health. So the idea for this blueprint is funded as part of a national NIOSH project that funds the National Children's Center that's based in Marshfield, Wisconsin. This blueprint team is composed of the following presenters, and we don't have Barb Lee and David Hard with us, but we have Sue Gallagher, Barb Marlinga, myself, and Mary Miller with us, who are part of the team. And hopefully we will have a finalized blueprint soon, and we also will have a dedicated issue of the Journal of Agromedicine, which will include a number of the blueprint recommendations and agenda for the future. So with that, I'm going to move into my presentation and my focus. I've come from the Migrant Clinicians Network, and I'm the Director of Environmental and Occupational Health there. And my focus is going to be on the immigrant and migrant children at risk in agriculture and looking at a framework for improving the health and safety of children, of immigrant children. So I have no disclosures or nothing, no relationship to disclose. I have lots of disclosures, I suppose. Basically, what I want to do is just give you a demographic overview, look at the health and safety concerns, look at where our gaps in knowledge and practices, and then highlight the recommendations that we're considering for this blueprint. So to start with, who is it that we're talking about when I talk about migrant and immigrant children in agriculture? First, we're talking about migrant children who travel or move with their parents to work, and they may live and play near agricultural areas, and they may or may not work. We're also looking at immigrant children who are involved with agriculture, who settle out or are no longer migrating, and they too may live and play near agricultural areas, and they may or may not work. And then there's a third category of unaccompanied minors who are essentially adolescent farm workers who are employed to work in agriculture, and for all essential purposes, they function as adults, yet they're still teens. So most of my presentation is about that, what we just don't know, because there is so much with migrant children that we don't know. But by going through some of what we know and what we don't know, it'll set the stage for the recommendations that we're looking at. So when we're talking about farm workers in general, again, we don't know how many, but we estimate there's anywhere between 1 million and 2.5 million farm workers. And approximately half of those farm workers are parents with minor children, and two-thirds of these parents have children residing with them. Again, trying to figure out how many kids there are, we don't know, but we can look at sources like Migrant Education that serves migrant kids ages 3 to to 21, and they deem that they have about 850,000 kids eligible for their services. Migrant Head Start serves 40,000 kids from birth to five, and they estimate that they're only serving 20% of the eligible kids. So the question that we have, and again, in trying to understand what's going on with children, is what's happening to the 200,000 kids, and who cares for them while their parents are working? So we get information about teenagers ages 14 through 17 from the National Agricultural Workers Survey, and we estimate that about 5.5% of the hired farm worker labor force is made up of teens. What else is it that we know about this workforce or about farm workers in general? Majority are Spanish-speaking. 80% of the farm workers are men. We know that they have a limited formal education, mostly fourth to sixth grade. They earn between $10,000 and $12,500 per year, so they're living largely in poverty. And we also know that a number of the workers are undocumented. And what does this mean when we have, like, the farm worker parents overall that are undocumented, and how does that impact children? So when we look at a figure that estimates 50% of farm workers are undocumented, we look further, and there are a few studies that look at migrant children, and it found that 77% of the migrant children had an unauthorized parent. And while some of those children might actually be U.S. citizens, even if their parents are unauthorized, it's important to understand that because the family then functions like an undocumented household, and that child, although it has rights as a U.S. citizen, functions as if it's an undocumented person in our country. So what about farm workers and stressing the system? WIC, for women, infants, and children, very low uses of services, unemployment insurance, Medicaid, and food stamps. These are all, they're not burdening the system, and yet there's a number of children who probably actually are in need of these services. What are our health and safety concerns for children? We're looking at exposure to chemicals. Pesticides are of concern for children and pregnant women. Lead, there's other chemical exposures in the agricultural setting. Water and sanitation is a concern. Housing. Food security is another important issue that we're very concerned about when we're looking at children in agriculture. And food security, we're basically talking about the ready availability of adequate, safe food and the ability to acquire food that is in a socially normative way without resorting to stealing, scavenging, shelter services, or emergency rations. And there's a number of new studies, Quant in North Carolina, there's studies in Ohio that are coming out that are showing that more than half of farm worker households are food insecure, which is a pretty staggering statement considering that they're helping us put food on our tables. We also have a number of legal and regulatory concerns, and there's a long history of agricultural exceptionalism. The Fair Labor Standards Act actually permits child labor in cases in agriculture. The National Labor Relations Act prohibits collective bargaining in agriculture, although there are some states that allow farm workers to unionize. And workers' compensation. Only 13 states require employers to provide workers' compensation to agricultural workers. We also have occupational health and safety regulations that are of concern. When we look at the OSHA Act, there's limited protections for ag workers. And then there's the worker protection standard that comes out of the EPA. And that's a standard that's generally weaker than many of the OSHA standards because of how it's set up in its regulatory framework. And also, there's a gaping hole in terms of this standard and where children fit in. It is up for revision soon, so hopefully we can address some of those holes. As far as healthcare access goes, foreign-born children are largely ineligible for Medicaid. We already talked about sort of the challenges of having an undocumented parent and what that means for healthcare access. There are 155 community and migrant health centers across the country that do receive funds to serve migrants and their families, yet barriers to serving this population continue to persist. There are language barriers, cultural barriers, transportation barriers, and fear. I think that most of us listen to the news. We can only hear what's happening in Alabama and other places around the country, and people in terms of accessing services are limited by fear. Education. Education is actually probably the area where we do have a little bit of more information than in the other areas, and we do know that disparities continue to exist in terms of educational achievement. we do know that the dropout rate for migrant children is higher than the national average. And then this last statistic down here, which is rather staggering, and I have children in school, and they're constantly tested, so we do actually have some good statistics. Unfortunately, the news is not good. Migrant students perform at or near the bottom of all subcategories of students tested in all states and at all grade levels. Okay, so given that's what we know, based on some limited knowledge, but where are some of these gaps in knowledge? And basically, I think you can see that the demographic and health data on migrant workers, as well as their children, remain, you know, we're still looking. The National Agricultural Workers Survey, which is a really important source of information for migrant workers, really only looks at workers 14 and above. And in agriculture, we do have kids that are working under age 14, and we'd really like to know more about that population. The migrant community health centers that I mentioned use something called the Uniform Data System, and that is a source of information, although it's very it's arcane in a lot of ways, and it's not possible to report the number of migrant adolescents seen nationally, just the total number of adolescents or just the total number of migrants. So we're challenged with that system as well. The surveillance that does exist for childhood agricultural injuries, although we do have some surveillance systems in place, there's challenges in getting at what's happening with migrant children in regard to their injuries and exposures. We look at the health professionals that are serving migrant children, and they have limited training in migrant health, they have limited training in agromedicine, and in occupational and environmental medicine. And employers are limited in their understanding regarding what are the best practices in dealing with this migrant population and dealing with children. So for our blueprint, looking at what we do know, looking at what we don't know and would like to know, we've come up with a number of recommendations. And I'm going to go through these categories because the blueprint is set up under these seven domains, the first one being leadership. And our these are not all of our recommendations, but just our core recommendations. And under leadership, we're really looking to, you know, using the expertise that we have in the workforce, and looking to our farm worker communities to develop careers and leadership from the kids that are coming out of the migrant communities. As far as injury, disease, and exposure goes, we really would like to look at NAWS because it already is an existing source and try to get children at least from age 12 and up. And then we want to look at the existing surveillance methods and try to better capture migrant youth. And we've talked a lot about in this conference the role of electronic health records. We see that in terms of injury, disease, and exposure, electronic health records are going to play an important role and hopefully helping us potentially understand what's happening with migrant children in agriculture. As far as research goes, we know that we need more research that's going to look directly at measuring the effects of child labor, child accompanying to the workplace, and child mobility on the physical, emotional, and spiritual growth and development of children. Public policy. I think I can't stand up here and talk about a blueprint for children in agriculture without saying the need for immigration reform. I think that's the core of some of the challenges that we face, and that will be an important public policy to continue to fight for. But in the meantime, we can always do our little stopgap measures and continue to address the legal and regulatory gaps that exist in agriculture and really lessen those gaps. And Mary Miller is going to talk more about what's happening right now and what's going on. And then in terms of organizational policy, encouraging and the incorporation of occupational health and safety into the health professions training and into the health professions that are looking at caring for youth. Interventions, I think child care is right up there on our list, and supporting employer-based child care that's responsive to the unique needs of the farm worker families and really looking at the cultural needs and what's happening with this worker population. And then knowledge dissemination and mobilization, really supporting the identification and dissemination of best practices related to the health and safety of unaccompanied minors and children of migrant and seasonal farm workers. So just a little bit about MCN. We are the oldest and largest network for the clinical network for the mobile underserved. We're over 25 years old, and we're really about being a force for justice for healthcare for the mobile poor. Most of our folks are in those migrant community health centers, but we serve a number of folks outside that are taking care of migrants and migrant families.